This Arts Roundup is presented courtesy of the Sanlam Art Collection and Gallery. Live with confidence and experience a selection of the best South African art at the Sanlam Art Gallery in Bellville.
I have with me Michael Godby, who has just written Object Lessons, Still Life Paintings by Irma Stern, 1908 to 1965. Michael, you're the man who's focused on Irma Stern's nude. So this new book, Still Life Painting, what specifically made you move into the genre?
Philip, yes, I had written the book on nudes and did an exhibition on nudes at the Irma Stern Museum. And still life is that other subject that was taught to Irma Stern, indeed every artist of the period, along with nudes. And the two genres taught aspiring artists quite strongly different things in terms of composition particularly, whereas the focus of nudes was invariably towards the center of the painting. The trainee artists turned to still life to compose across the length and breadth of the format, and indeed pictorial depth. So it was a medium of instruction from her earliest times, and it's a medium that she referred to throughout her life, particularly when she wanted to experiment with other aspects of her practice, particularly color or pictorial space. So it was, as you can see from the dates, from the very beginning of her life to the very end of her life, she constantly returned to still life as a genre.
And often the compositions had what her interests were at the time, should I put it that way, and there was definitely a local African focus. Is that correct?
It's one of her projects on returning to South Africa in 1920 that she wanted to Africa. First of all, she wanted to modernize still life as it was practiced at the Cape. It was disparaged as a very Victorian, boring subject, particularly centered on flowers, and she wanted to modernize it. And in modernizing it, she also wanted to Africanize it, to tell people, particularly in Europe, that these paintings were not done in Berlin, they were done in the Cape. So she used local flowers, and she used local objects to some extent in her still life as well. But more particularly, in working at the Cape, she wanted to introduce radical new German expressionist ideas. And while much of her figure painting at this time was of idyllic African subjects that didn't really allow expressionism to any great extent, some of her still lives were quite radical in terms of painting practice, color usage, her definition of forms, definitions of a space. So yes, she used still life very strongly in the 1920s to present herself as a modernist in conservative Cape Town.
Also, the vibrancy of the work is particularly amazing, but her choice of objects that she placed in it, a lot of them, there's some of those objects are still in the collection.
Indeed.
So perhaps you don't want to just talk about where she was collecting from and how she assembled these.
As you know, the Irma Stern Museum is a repository of huge amount of work, some of which was sold on at her death, of course, in the auctions. But still, there's an amazing collection of African material culture and of East Asian and European. And she started collecting clearly while she's still a student in Berlin, brought things back and included and collected throughout her life while traveling and indeed in the shops in Cape Town and Johannesburg.
You talk about traveling. Some of that is reflected in the still lives as well. Did she do some of them on site, or did she bring back some of those memories with her when she did those paintings?
The objects, she sometimes painted them overseas, not very often. Towards the end of her life, she did still lives of bowls of fruit while she was staying in hotels in Spain and the south of France. Still lives in windows, still lives with harbour scenes in the background, that sort of thing. But she didn't really paint objects overseas, as far as I know. She brought them back and she painted them at home.
Mm. And so the way you've divided up the book into different chapters, perhaps you'd just like to take us through some of those periods that you find when she was like refreshing herself in some ways.
Yeah, indeed.
And moving on to other areas, but those still lives were sort of setting a standard for her.
Yes. As we mentioned, some of her early still lives from the 1920s were deliberately modernist, expressionist, and Africanizing. And then around 1930, she decided that she wanted to explore colour more fully. And she turned to still life again with that to explore the potential of colour, even, as she said at one point, to the detriment of her subject matter. So she turned to Cézanne particularly and structured new compositions, with still life particularly, in terms of colour.
And I think we're going to have you come back again, because on the Picasso story as well, I think that's going to be a whole other review. But just in general, just end off with your words of why we have to get this book.
Oh, because like the nudes, I think it is very interesting to follow a theme from A to Z in her painting career, to see how things change and yet stay the same, and so on. Yes.
Well, she was Irma Stern, and she was the one who set the standards. But indeed, you set a very high standards in terms of object lessons, still life paintings by Irma Stern, 1908 to 1965. Thank you, Michael Godby. And this wonderful book that was launched at the Irma Stern Museum is also available for sale right there. And to find your way there, or to other cultural events in and around Cape Town, pick up a copy of the Art, Craft and Museums map, or get it digitally at mapmyway.co.za. This Arts Roundup is presented courtesy of the Sanlam Art Collection and Gallery. View the collection at the Sanlam Art Gallery in Bilbo, or go online to blog.sanlam.co.za.